Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording in our studio at the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today we're going to be talking about some ongoing issues involving the Grossmont Union High School District and the efforts by the people of Alpine to get that Alpine High School built. And my very special guests today are Priscilla Schreiber, who is a trustee on the Grossmont Union High School Board. Priscilla, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me back on the show, and I appreciate last time. And the issues haven't changed. We're still talking about the same issues, and which brings us to one of the major discussions we want to have today. And I know you talked about Alpine, but first and foremost for me is really having a very qualified candidate run, and the filing deadline is this Friday, which could be extended to next week, next Friday, because Member Hoy has announced that he will not be running. So my message out there is that because of what you don't know, it's important that you do get involved and you do run. I could certainly use some help on the board.
Well, thank you for letting us know that. We're going to be talking about some of the issues that Priscilla is facing and some of the efforts by the board to silence her coming up. But we also have another guest I'd like to introduce today. Nick Marinovich was a member of the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee for the Grossmont District until he stepped down. And we're going to be talking about what was behind that resignation. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Marion.
So let's lay a little bit of background here for listeners who may have not kept up with all the latest. The voters of Alpine, and in fact the entire Grossmont District, twice voted through bond measures that were supposed to fund building a new high school for Alpine, which has never had one before. But instead, the district chose to spend a lot of that money for other projects, some of which were not even in the bond. They have absolutely refused to build the school, one, you know, excuse after another, basically. Even after a grand jury last year came out and said, you must either come up with a timeline to build the high school and, you know, and fund it, release the money to do that by the end of last year, which they did not do, or you basically need to get out of the way and support efforts to unify with the Alpine Union School District so that it could expand from right now its elementary and middle school to include high school, and they would be able to build the high school. And the board voted
a 4-1 resolution to oppose the unification process.
Yeah, so basically they thumbed their nose at the grand jury. So Nick here was a member of the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee, whose job is to make sure that bond monies are spent wisely for taxpayers. Nick, refresh our listeners' memory a little bit on what some of your qualifications were to serve on that board.
I've been chair of the Sweetwater Bond Oversight Committee for over 2.5 years. I'm on the current board of director for the California League of Bond Oversight Committees, and then I serve on the, did serve on that Grossmont Bond Oversight Committee as the San Diego County Taxpayers Representative.
And on the Sweetwater Board, which I understand you chair, there were some pretty major consequences that came out of that. Your board over there found some wrongdoing, and it actually resulted in some indictments of some officials in that school district.
Yes, the whole board that was there except absent one was removed as a result of the corruption cases that were filed several years ago. I was a grand jury witness for the proceedings, and in fact I was the first person publicly to go before the Board of Trustees on April 24th, 2007 and raised issues about the selection of Gilbane SGI as the program manager. And SGI is the firm's individuals, who some of which pleaded guilty to the corruption charges.
Okay, so clearly you're very qualified and very effective. So what happened that made you decide you needed to resign from the Grossmont Citizens Bond Oversight Committee, Nick?
Well, basically I threw out my life is too short card. I was frustrated on a number of fronts when I questioned why don't we have a expanded performance audit, which is best practices. The district repeatedly, the district being the bond oversight committee, repeatedly found ways to say no on that effort, and it's really best practice to do so. When I asked why don't we comment on the grand jury report, the response is, well, it's none of our business to
respond. Wait, they said it's none of the business of the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee to comment on a grand jury report that found that bonds weren't used properly?
Amazing. Basically, that's correct. In fact, I was specifically told by a member that I was wasting the committee's time by bringing up the issue.
So you feel that you were effectively forced to step down because they were tying your hands, you were just unable to do the job?
Yeah, I think they knew that if they frustrated me long and hard enough, I would throw up my hands and say, you know, I'm getting nowhere. I was chair of a audit and finance subcommittee who didn't really want to pursue as well aggressively looking at how the money was being spent. And my main point was, whether you agree or disagree with whether the Alpine decision was appropriate, we as a committee should have commented on what else was done instead with that money and whether that was proper. And the committee refused to do that. And frankly, the chair controlled the committee where I was unable to get my point across effectively.
Do you think that the Grossmont board members, those members who have been involved in this and who have been obstructing the new high school for Alpine, may have been worried about possible indictments coming down in this district too? Is that, you think that could be why they didn't want the bond oversight committee looking too closely into this stuff?
I don't really think it was an issue of indictments. I just don't think they want anybody to really carefully to scrutinize their decisions.
They don't want the publicity.
And in fact, they don't want the publicity. And as indication of their lack of wanting transparency, when they had an opportunity to appoint a committee member at large, and they had several people that lived in areas around the district, including a member of the Alpine community. Instead of choosing any of those people, they chose the president of Cuyamaca College, a community college within the district in which Grossmont is housed. An obvious, not a legal conflict of interest, but an appearance conflict of interest. And I'm being polite in saying that. And they showed their cards when they chose that person instead of a real community member.
Very interesting. Now, Priscilla, you have long been a vocal supporter of the Alpine High School, and you've been highly critical of the board majority, specifically Mr. Shields, Mr. Kelly, and the third vote for the opposing the Alpine High School in recent years has.
Yeah, it was Dr. Woods, and he's running for re-election again. But just giving a little background.
He's running to regain his seat. He was actually booted off by the voters.
Yeah. Yes. And I ran in 2000, so I've been on the board for 14 years. In 2003, Member Kelly and I signed a resolution that went to the State Board of Education asking the State Board to deny the unification petition that Alpine was putting forward to the state on the grounds that we said we are promising them today that we will build their school. So Alpine, 11 years ago,
wow,
stepped back from that unification petition based on my word, Member Kelly's word, and the other words of those members, other three board members at that time. I support Alpine because I believe they need a school in that community. I believe we can all support the school in that community. The voters supported two bonds saying we support a new school in the Alpine. We have two bond measures supporting that. So that's why my fight is for Alpine, because yeah, I promised in 2003. It's been said, if it was really based on growth and ADA and declining enrollment and all that kind of stuff, this board, when they were considering putting Prop U on the ballot, never one time had a discussion about that and how it affected our bond program or moving schools around, closing schools, building another school. It was not discussed until it was brought in the 11th hour, and the spending is spending out of control, and we're supposed to be in decline enrollment.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It isn't an issue of the money wasn't there for the school. It's an issue of they've decided to spend this money largely on other projects, which while many of them may be worthy, swimming pools and theaters for other schools, many of those were not in the bond measure. Now, there is still some money left, so part of the fight here is what happens to that. And if the board had gone forward, as the grand jury instructed them to do, to support unification and turn over the money to the Alpine District, then there would still be a good chunk of change left to start that process in the other district. But by refusing to do that, are they in essence saying they want to just keep the money, spend it down on other things, and the voters in Alpine who wanted a high school get zero?
Well, and Nick's going to weigh in on this, but the Alpine community members, they have nothing. There's literally only $15 million out of two bonds that have gone towards purchasing and perfecting the permits and stuff in that in Alpine. We still have permits that need to be perfected on that land. It's unimproved land. It's not even improved land, which was required by the bond language. So we didn't even spend the money to improve the land. They spent it down the hill on non-voter approved projects. So that money will, in essence, either come out of what's left in the bond dollars, which there will not be, or it's going to come out of the general fund because there will be a settlement. And I think it's going to be more than what our district believes it's going to be.
Very interesting. Nick, do you have anything to add to that point?
Well, yeah. What I noticed when I first went on the bond oversight committee, which struck me as rather really odd, is how aggressive the school district was in terms of spending the bond proceeds. Very aggressive. And what the upshot of all that is, because of their aggressive spending and because of the turn down in the real estate market, and the assessed value has not grown like it has in the past. All future bonds for this school district have to be what's called capital appreciation bonds. While they're under stricter criteria than used to be, those capital appreciation bonds are the same bonds that Poway School District was infamous for. And when you have to have all of your future debt and that kind of debt instrument, it's not a good sign.
Mm. So, was this essentially just mismanagement of the bond monies in your professional opinion, Nick, or your expert opinion?
I think it was somebody or the board just saying, we're just going to spend the money. They're the policymakers. It's not the staff. The board is the one that makes the decision where they want to spend the money.
Yeah.
And staff just implements it. And
well,
so the board
I would have a difference of opinion there. I believe staff is
involved.
An extension of the board majority.
Well,
now, speaking of the board, Priscilla, you've been very vocal on this issue. And another thing the board has done recently is they've done some things that many people would find very troubling that are impacting the free speech of elected officials, and particularly you as an elected official.
And only me.
Yeah, it seems to be a singling out here. Some of this came about after you went and attended or spoke at a bond oversight committee meeting. But tell us some of the things that they've done to try to shut you up.
Well, what they do is they, and California School Board Association has this in the policy that you can have 2 minutes and then another person can speak. But we've kind of made that into more of a gag order situation. We don't deliberate on anything.
Okay, so specifically, tell the listeners what the procedures are they've implemented and on whose motion those were put through and voted on.
They changed our policies, our governing board policies, our board bylaws on how we do our board meetings. And so they've just added a lot of stuff in there that just really shuts down deliberation. And every time I try and ask questions, I get 2 minutes in total to ask. Say we're doing a bond presentation, and I have some questions. They're changing. They're erasing things in the documents. I'm trying to ask questions about this. They'll all say, oh, wait a minute. You've already had your time's up. Move on. And it just goes away. It's like nobody cares about the fiduciary responsibility of our bond program. They put in a gag order in a resolution honoring our CBOC with therefore saying that, you know, basically they could have put my name in it. Priscilla Schreiber can no longer attend the CBOC meetings unless she gets the CBOC chair invites her, or she gets a unanimous support and board majority that she can attend. Oh my God. I go there as Priscilla Schreiber, Joe Q Public, and I share with them the information pertinent to what they have to use in their deliberations and understanding our bond program. Being on the board for as long as I have this history, and they don't want to hear it because they have a controlled message by the board majority and the staff. Not all staff, but the staff leadership are the ones that control the messages at the CBOC meetings.
And I understand that the latest is that one of the board members has now begun basically openly taunting you in meetings and calling for your resignation in a public meeting.
Yes, ever since the two unification hearings for Alpine. We had a board meeting immediately following the last unification hearing the following night. And Mr. Kelly, and I've spoken at both unification hearings. It's no new news that I support Alpine getting a school. The best scenario would have been under the umbrella of the Grossmont Union, and then, because that would have been Alpine and Blossom Valley. But since that wasn't going to be the case, I have supported that this community move on and we just let them go to do what they need to do for their community. And he has said, why don't you just step down, resign from this board, and run for Alpine? He has said that in every public board meeting, May, June, July, and the special board meeting last week.
Okay. Let's talk about the elections coming up. There are five seats on the board. Which seats are up for re-election this time?
You have Mr. Kelly's seat, Mr. Shield, who is our board president currently.
Who's been voting with Mr. Kelly in opposition to
the was recruited by Mr. Kelly, and so was Dr. Woods, who is returning to the campaign trail to try and regain his seat. And then Member Hoy has publicly announced that he will not be seeking re-election.
Okay.
So the filing deadline is this Friday to run. There is a fee involved, a candidate statement, and 5 o'clock's the deadline. With Member Hoy announcing that he will not seek re-election, for those of us who are in the business of this, we know that the Register of Voters will make the determination and extend the deadline filing till the following Friday.
What about Mr. Steringer? Is his seat up?
No, he ran with me in the last election, and he unseated Dr. Woods.
Okay, so
in
the 12. Two of you are there. It's the other three seats that are going to
yes.
be open this time
yes.
around. So there is an opportunity there. Now, who has stepped forward and filed to run thus far?
The only person I know that would not be a candidate returning to run again, like Dr. Woods, would be Barbara Stevens. Well, actually, Barbara Stevens ran in 2012. Mm-hmm. So she has filed to run again, and that's the only one. The last time I looked was last week to see who pulled papers.
So I have not
looked this week.
Only two candidates have filed, at least one of whom is in the same camp with the current board majority on the Alpine High School issues.
Dr. Woods campaigned against Alpine in 2012.
Okay.
If she was to get in or somebody else was to get in, that would still make it a 3-2 board. I don't rely on Mr. Steringer to support. He doesn't even give me a second, and he helps the board majority sabotage my agenda items and bury it because they don't want public discussion on it. So he's no help to me.
Do you think if a strong candidate were to come forward that they would have a reasonable chance of winning? Is there enough
momentum there for these guys? He was strong, had some name recognition and sense and sensibility and reason, and was not looking at it to bring forth an agenda that would help implement or support what the board majority is doing right now, which is to circumvent what the people's will is through the bond program and the right for public comment and discussion to deliberate the issues that we face as a board. Instead, they are Gestapo-like in nature. They have a gender bias towards a woman on the board, and it needs to be called into question.
Nick, I'm going to ask each of you, do you have any final words today for our listeners out there?
Yes, I do. This board lacks, as a total, passion for what they're doing. That's been my perception of sitting at board meetings. They've been there too long and or don't have the kind of passion you should have when you're on a school district. And in fact, when you're on a school board member, unlike some of the other elected bodies that are, quote, higher, you actually have more direct control and see the outcome of what you do and more power in a government elected official entity than most others. You get elected to state office and you're one of many up there that can do nothing when you're not senior. And these people need to get out of the way and let some new people come in there and cut this damn divisiveness out. It's ridiculous. I've not heard the word very rarely at board meetings where there's a discussion about education. It's a discussion about how many times this person asked for information and how many just ridiculous stuff that have nothing to do with education.
Interesting.
It's about really representing your constituents and the taxpayers and what's best for kids. And we've lost that. And I agree with Nick. There is no passionate discussion about anything. All they do is police. When can we stop Priscilla from asking questions? And I've said this to Nick a million times. While our hands may be tied by the state because we don't have the freedom that a lot of people think that we do, we can still be very passionate about the types of programs that we have for kids and our safety and security and those kind of things. But our bond program and my background in construction is huge. It is the only pot of money that this board, almost $1 billion, has complete control over. How we spend those dollars represents how we are financially responsible to our constituents. We've had bond counsel come in, tell the CBOC we're spending dollars and out of compliance, and nobody's doing a damn thing about it.
And as far as the community of Alpine...
Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for telling us how you really feel, Priscilla. As far as the community of Alpine, too, this is not only about providing a quality education for their children and not having the inconvenience of driving far away. There's actually been deaths of children who have to drive, yes, the winter months. It can be icy on the highway from Alpine, right, all the way into El Cajon.
Oh, yes. And now that I babysit my granddaughter up there on the cold wintry days and during rainy days, I think about those kids driving back and forth constantly. But this is also about these people in that community. While it may only be 5-6% of the total district, they have been lied to and kicked to the curb with no respect. They pay taxes on two bonds and have nothing to show for it in their own neighborhood. They will pay for 50 plus years. And unless those people have a student in the district to drive down the hill, they'll get to visit their investment for maybe 4 or 8 years if they have two kids.
Do you think that this speaks to the integrity of the board overall, to a point where if there were some future bond measure for something at any other school, that voters might have pause as to whether or not they can believe that if they vote for it, the tax dollars would really be used
well, Alpine,
the way they
Alpine's
want.
Already lived that nightmare. The sad reality for Alpine, they went out for, a nominal $1 million to fix the sidings and stucco falling off their walls and HVCs and things like that. And it was because it was named the first proposition, Prop H, that we had in the Grossmont District, it lost because people were fed up and said, we already voted for Prop H and we were supposed to get a high school out of it.
There you go. Nick, do you agree that people throughout the district should be concerned about this, even though the specific issue at hand has been primarily Alpine's?
Absolutely. I mean, they should be concerned. There's no way I would ever vote for another bond issue with this district, with this current leadership. And in fact, for Prop H, the original bond issue, lo and behold, for years, it wasn't even revealed that the district was over the voter-approved tax rate per $100,000 assessed value. And when I came on the committee, I said, by the way, what is the Prop H tax rate? And oh my God, it's $7 per $100,000 above the cap that was in the ballot language approved by the voters.
Well,
that's what
just,
I call is lack of transparency.
Yeah, and let me just add to that. That was only discovered in a bond workshop when we're having a conversation. And I asked the question, wait a minute. We exceeded the $27.90 that we promised our taxpayers on a 100,000 assessed valuation by $7. And you could see our CBOC chair was like her head, or she had her deer in a headlights kind of look on her face. And they never brought it forward to the board, ever.
Wow. Now, I want to end by talking about two important deadlines coming up. One of them is that the County Board of Education is going to be voting. What's the date again on that, Priscilla?
It's next week, August 13th at 2 o'clock at the Joe Rendon, I don't know if it's Technology Center, but the Joe Rendon Center on Linda Vista Road, the County Board of Education.
Okay, so on the 13th, the County Board of Education.
2 p.m.
2 p.m. We'll be voting on whether or not to recommend to the state that they approve the unification
support
effort for Alpine.
Right.
Okay, and is that something where the public can?
Absolutely. We would welcome the public to come. We had two unification hearings, and no one came to speak in opposition of unification. We held one meeting up in Alpine and one meeting in our boardroom, and not one person spoke against it. I think most people realize that they've been down and dirtied for 12 years.
Okay. And the other deadline you mentioned at the beginning, but for listeners who tuned in late, currently there are three board seats coming up for election or re-election in the upcoming fall election, and only two people so far have pulled papers to run for those seats, one of whom is Mr. Woods, who was voted off by the voters last time and is in the same camp, was recruited by Mr. Kelly, has been a consistent opponent of an Alpine school. So, and the other two seats one of the other seats has nobody running at all.
He would be a proponent with Mr. Kelly and Mr. Schill to continue to spend money as fast as they can so there's no money left for a rainy day. There's no money left for deferred maintenance. People need to be talking about that. They haven't updated it for 4.5 years, and these bonds are supposed to be taking care of deferred maintenance. Instead, they're going to build an event center on Grossmont High School instead of converting the old gym that was voter approved for the multi-purpose facility.
Okay. So if any listeners out there care about this issue decide they may wish to step forward and throw their hat in the ring, the deadline for filing to run for these offices on the Grossmont Union High School District Board is this Friday. It's coming up soon.
5 p.m.
August 8th, yeah. Or because one member has declared he's not running for re-election, Mr. Hoy, there will be an extension, unless he changes his mind, there will be an extension another 5 days. So you've probably actually got until the 13th, although
you should play it safe and
file.
Get
in by the 9th, if you can. Yeah, there you go.
Friday night. Yep.
Okay.
I just want to say that when Nick resigned, I have to tell you, it was even a struggle with the San Diego County Taxpayers Association to have them understand what was going on. And they're so busy. But here's a representative of that group that really could have used a little bit more of their support. So I hope with their best practices, and as districts adopt those, that they actually have more of a hands-on with those people that they appoint to serve on the CBOC. Because we went to those CBOC meetings. Nick was absolutely frustrated every time he asked a question. It was delayed. It was put off in another committee so it would never come back. And he is an absolute credit, an asset to school boards that have bonds that they're running in their districts for the CBOC. He's a watchdog, and we don't have him. What we have in our district is a CBOC other than Nick. They think they're there to serve the board.
And that's Citizens Bond Oversight Committee.
Yes.
Nick, do you have any final thoughts?
I'm not going to run this time, but you'll see me in 2 years.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first, folks. Okay, a lot can happen in 2 years, though,
yes.
Keep those deadlines in mind, folks. Thank you very much, Priscilla and Nick, for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.